Utah and the Mountain States generally have some of the highest suicide rates in the nation. They increased dramatically in the first two decades of the 21st century. And while there's a little good news on that recently, the question of how to make mental health and suicide prevention services broadly available to Utah's population is still an important concern. In this edition of Utah Thrives, we'll hear from several speakers at a recent Utah Foundation breakfast event on mental health and suicide prevention, along with an official of the Utah National Guard and from Utah's Commissioner of Agriculture, whose particular concern is the high rate of suicide among farmers and in rural communities. This is Utah Thrives, the Utah Foundation podcast. I'm Dan Bomas. In 2018, Utah Foundation published the research report, Getting to Tomorrow, Addressing Suicide in Utah and the Mountain States. While much of the news coverage of suicide in the state has focused on the problem among students and young people, that study found that adult males are at the highest risk for suicide, and that several rural counties in Utah, especially those with the highest rates of opioid prescriptions, have high suicide rates as well. On November 12th, about 100 community leaders gathered in the Zions Bank Founders Room to hear a panel discussion on recent efforts to expand mental health access and suicide prevention efforts. Utah Foundation held the event in partnership with the University of Utah's College of Social and Behavioral Science. The panelists included State Representative Steve Elison, Dr. Marissa Henn, the Community Health Program Director for Intermountain Healthcare, Dr. Craig Bryan, Associate Professor of Psychology at the University of Utah and Executive Director of the National Center for Veterans Studies, and Dr. Sheila Crowell, Associate Professor of Psychology and Director of the Dialectical Behavior Therapy Program. Representative Elison talked about the efforts Utah has made to consolidate many different programs into a single point of contact with a common phone number, 800-273-TALK. With help from Congressman Chris Stewart, Elison says a new 3-digit number where people can reach out in a crisis could soon be created, and he offered a little good news.
A lot of times some of these discussions can be gloom and doom, but we've got to focus on the good things. Data that will soon be released, I think hopefully any day from the CDC, right, Marissa? Will show that Utah in 2018 saw our first decrease in about a decade on our state suicide rate. So that's extremely encouraging. Now, is it a big decrease? No. Is it a large statistical number? No. But it's flat at best and a slight decrease. So we'll take that. We hope that the trend continues to move that direction, and the data I've seen from 2019 would indicate that's the case.
And there was more good news from psychologist Craig Bryan. He says there are treatments that really do work if people in crisis can be reached soon enough.
We actually have a handful of treatments, therapies now that are incredibly effective for PTSD, and not just combat PTSD, but for other forms of trauma. Sexual assault is a very common source of trauma as well, but other childhood trauma. So in our clinic at the NCVS, I would say about half of the service members, veterans who come in have combat or military-related trauma. Another significant percentage is sexual assault. And then another significant percentage is childhood abuse. And that's something that has been sort of carried forward for 20, 30 years within their lives. And so the most effective treatments for PTSD are actually a handful of psychotherapies, cognitive behavioral therapies. They are typically only 10 to 12 sessions in length. And you know, what many of us are doing now at not only our center, but Salt Lake VA has just adopted this model, as well as intensive therapy programs, where we meet with people every single day for 2 weeks, and 80% we knock out PTSD in less than 2 weeks, which many people thought would have never been possible.
And while access to therapy is a critical component of helping people in crisis, Dr. Marissa Henn says there's a very practical strategy that could help prevent many suicides, and that is to lock up the guns.
This may seem like something you can't talk about in spaces here in Utah, but actually it's Utah's gun community who approach so many researchers and public health folks like us to say, we need your help. We need your data. We need your collaboration. And we in turn said, we need your help. We're not great messengers on this stuff. We don't know how to talk about firearm safety in a clinical visit with a patient in a way that feels comfortable for everyone involved. And so through intensive community collaboration and work with the folks here and listening to one another, we're finding ways to focus on firearms and reducing access to firearms for people at risk as a really key, one of those probably few evidence-based interventions. And I won't go through the stats at length, but many of you know guns are the leading method of suicide in Utah, and 85% of gun deaths in Utah are suicides. So at Intermountain, we've been deploying a variety of interventions around this issue. We're, of course, doing the mental health work as well, but we know we need to focus on lethal means reduction in order to achieve change.
Access to health care of every kind is an issue in rural Utah, but mental health services have been a particular problem. Representative Ellison says that's where telehealth services hold particular promise, encouraging patients to reach out to a professional using a tablet or cell phone no matter where they live.
So increased use of telehealth is critical. There's a bill this coming session. It's not I don't think it's been published yet, but it would require parity in payment for physical and behavioral health conditions. Right now, if you're a new psychiatrist and you move to town and you put up your sign, your practice will instantly fill up with inpatient visits that the insurance companies will be willing to pay a higher rate for than if you talk to that person through a secure monitor that maybe lived in, say, Bluff, Utah. So what is the psychiatrist going to do? They've got typically maybe $300,000 of student loans they got to pay off. They're going to see the patients that are going to help them pay the bills. And at the end of the day, their practice is going to be full either way. So it's critical that we get insurance companies on board to say, don't discriminate against somebody in a rural area because they have to talk over a monitor because there's not a clinician in their town than if it's a face-to-face.
One of Utah's key outreach efforts has been the SafeUT app, which has allowed students in Utah's public schools and colleges to report safety issues and also to seek mental health assistance in a crisis. A new version of the SafeUT app has just become available to members of the Utah National Guard. Dr. Gerald White is a psychologist and the chaplain for the Utah National Guard. I spoke to him as the breakfast event was wrapping up. He says the stereotypical image of a combat veteran in crisis is not the real picture Guard personnel are facing.
Actually, the research is showing much different than what people, for one reason or another, have believed over the last 10 years that it's been combat soldiers, people who have served in combat that are at a high risk for suicide. That's actually not the case. Research is showing that we're still looking at that 18 to 24 year age that has never deployed, which is having the highest risk factors of suicide within the military.
Another occupational group with a significantly higher risk of suicide than the general population is farmers, and that's a serious concern for Kerry Gibson, a former legislator whose family runs a dairy farm in Weber County and who now serves as the commissioner of Utah's Department of Agriculture and Food. Gibson says farming is an extremely stressful occupation. They deal with the vagaries of weather and markets, changing political situations that affect their ability to make a living, and often the isolation of living in rural areas a long way from professional help. I spoke with Commissioner Gibson during National Suicide Prevention Month in September.
One of the things that we've been focusing on here over the last few months has mostly been just talking about it, starting to have a dialogue. Because, again, farmers are the last people that tend to sit around and complain or, frankly, even go looking for help. They're very independent. They're fiercely independent, frankly, and they tend to believe that they can fix their own problems. And so sometimes they don't seek help soon enough. They don't realize that there are programs available to them through local health departments, state agencies, things like that, that they can have access to. And so part of it is letting them know that we understand that the stress that they are under as a community, as a group. And then that we, first of all, don't look down upon them for the things that they can't control. And second of all, to help make them aware that if you have an issue like this, if you have a challenge like this, we will stand with you and we will lock arms with you and walk with you and show you what is available from our perspective. And so what I've found is that there are a lot of people that are trying to do something here, but they're not always well coordinated. And so right now what we're doing is trying to raise awareness, trying to gather together all of the different resources that we can find from county, state, and local resources, and then put that information all together and make it available so that farmers and ranchers can have access to that when they need it. Because that becomes the real challenge, is we can have all the information, but if they don't know how to get to it or realize that it's even there, doesn't do them any good.
And there are resources to help Utah farmers in crisis on the Department of Agriculture and Food website and on its Facebook page. The Utah Foundation research report, Getting to Tomorrow, Addressing Suicide in Utah and the Mountain States, is available on our website at utahfoundation.org. That's also where you'll find information on events such as our recent breakfast briefing on expanding mental health and suicide prevention efforts in Utah. Utah Foundation is a nonpartisan, nonprofit research group funded by business, philanthropic foundations, higher education, local government, and individual donations. Founded in 1945, our mission is to produce objective, thorough, and well-reasoned research and analysis that promotes the effective use of public resources, a thriving economy, a well-prepared workforce, and a high quality of life for Utahns. Utah Foundation seeks to help decision-makers and citizens understand and address complex issues. Utah Foundation also offers constructive guidance to improve governmental policies, programs, and structures. I'm Dan Bomas. Thanks for listening.